We were just doing a little bit of a roll call. We had a good number of martial arts school operators who are not currently NAPMA members on the line, and I was just sort of saying hello to them. We have representatives from all over the country. We even have a couple from Australia today and one from New Zealand, which I think it's about 2 a.m. their time right now in New Zealand. So they showed some dedication to make it to the call today.
Well, great.
Actually, New Zealand, it would be 8 a.m., 9 a.m., I think. We do most of our calls now at 11 a.m., so they make it early in the a.m., so
is that
we should
thing?
Be good.
It is.
Okay, all right.
D. Stephen Oliver, there you go. So,
okay,
Bill, how is your day?
My day is fine. It's 1 o'clock here, so it's not the middle of the night for me. So 1 p.m., everything is fine here. But listen, let's thank the people across the globe for making this call. So that's very admirable of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Bill, pretty much everybody we have on the phone here are martial arts school operators, and I'll make a leap and assume they know who Toby and I am. So, you know, Stephen Oliver, CEO of NAPMA, with Toby Milroy, who's the Chief Operations Officer. And but we are joined by Bill Glazier. And Bill, let's for those of them who are not familiar with your background, let's give them a little bit of your background. I know we've been working together, I don't know, it seems like 10 years or so now. It's been quite a while. But, you know, your new book is phenomenal. But let's give them a little bit of your background. You're the president of Glazier Kennedy. You've got many, many thousands of members who are in all walks of business, anything from menswear retail, which is your initial background, through to dentistry, chiropractic, martial arts schools, dance schools, and a range of businesses. And as you evolve with your business, I know you've become one of the most sought-out copywriters, meaning people pay you a great deal of money to write letters and advertisements and create their marketing for you, and probably an awful lot more money than most people on the call could fathom. As you've developed your career, I know you've worked with, what, probably 500 different businesses in different formats. You've also been recognized recently by DM News, which is, if you're not familiar, is the key newspaper for anybody who's in direct marketing. I mean, all the big dogs are recognized there. And I know you won an award with the Retail Advertising Conference, the REC Award, which is kind of like their version of the Emmys, right? So maybe you could share a little bit more of your background for our listeners who aren't as familiar with you.
Well, you know, listen, you did a pretty nice job of that. I mean, my mother would certainly love hearing all those accolades that you mentioned. But I guess what might be most valuable for the people that are on this call, as far as my background, is that I came from, you know, brick-and-mortar business. You know, none of what I really teach now is theory. It's all practical, in-the-trenches work. And I find that that's much more valuable for people to learn from rather than people that, and I hate to say this, but where we kind of call the pretend experts. These are the people that are up there telling people what to do, but they've never actually done it themselves. So what I'm pretty proud of the fact that I have a pretty long history, over 30 years, of actually being an entrepreneur, business owner, and a lot of what I'm now teaching other people, it's I've learned myself and applied it to my own business. And you're right, Stephen, it's, you know, at any given one time, I'm working with nearly 300 entrepreneurs one-on-one through one of our mastermind groups or private clients. So I really get to see the marketing and advertising of some of the top entrepreneurs in the world in every different type of niche, which is very valuable, by the way, to not just see what's working in your own niche, because after a while everything gets very stale, but it's very valuable to see what's working in other people's niches and to do what I call S&D marketing, which is swiping and deploying it to your own niche, which you normally get much more extraordinary results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know our industry has been plagued with two types. I'll say the ones who last actually ran a school in their distant memory and in most cases never did it particularly well to begin with, and an awful lot of new flash in the pans of people who, you know, have ideas that sound great when you listen to them, but they've never really been applied in the real world, and they've never been successful with it. And that's what we're very careful to make sure we're only telling people things that are really working in 2009, which is a good topic of our conversation, because 2009 is considerably different than 2007 and certainly considerably different than 10 or 12 years ago. What works now in many cases is completely different in all industries, I'm sure, but certainly in ours.
Sure. And, you know, listen, let me just add to that because, you know, listen, right now we're in the midst of a recession, and a lot of people, the worst thing they can do right now is just sort of sit back and wait till the recession is over. That's terrible thinking. And most of those people, quite frankly, who do that will not survive. But more importantly is that when we do come out of this recession, the entrepreneur business world is not going to look like it used to look anyway. It's going to look differently. And there's going to be great opportunity, as there's great opportunity right now, by the way. There'll be great opportunity, but you still have to do things differently than you've done in the past. So, you know, I guess that's one of the reasons for this call today, is to talk about that.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, at our last event, I caught a lot of flack because I told people that the coming year was the year of the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And I know in our industry we've seen probably 3,500 schools, which is about a third of the industry, get flushed out. And I think a combination of recession and mixed martial arts UFC craze. On the other hand, the top 10%, the top 20% may have taken a few months to adapt, but they're thriving in the new era and oftentimes thriving because of exactly what you teach in your book about getting noticed and being different and being at the lead, but especially getting the right message to the market and not convoluting it. But, you know, what I was struck by in your book, and I forget Dan Kennedy's quote about your book, but where he said it should be a $3,000 or $4,000 information product. What I was struck by is just how much substance and how much meat there is in it. And I think the whole concept of first outrageous as opposed to what's otherwise thought of as normal, I think for most business owners is out of their realm of thinking. So let's talk about that. Why outrageous advertising? What's the reason behind that versus what you would see in the newspaper for AT&T or somebody?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm going to answer that question, but then I'm going to further clarify that question. So the reason why outrageous advertising, which is my favorite kind of advertising, works is because that most people are so overwhelmed today with marketing advertising messages. As a matter of fact, the last time, this was 6 years ago, they took any kind of a survey, they actually found that people were seeing or hearing over 3,100 different advertising and marketing messages every day, which sounds mind-boggling to people, but it's really true. And that was 6 years ago, and today with the Internet being so much more prolific, it's probably even a multiple of that. So the reason why outrageous works is because by being more outrageous in your advertising and is that it will cut through all that clutter of all that being overwhelmed with marketing messages where people actually pay attention to it. And quite frankly, you know, today, you know, I mean, listen, everybody on this call in some form is a business owner. If they have a martial art school, they have a business. And in our businesses, we are always under stress and pressure and things, you know, we have to do in order to be successful. And so when we see things that are outrageous, it kind of brings a smile to our face and makes us get noticed. But what's important about that is that just being outrageous by itself is not good enough. If you think about it, for example, the most expensive advertising in the United States now is the 30-second commercial on the Super Bowls. And this past year was $3.1 million for a 30-second commercial. And if you think of the Super Bowl advertising, as many people watch the Super Bowl to see the advertising as they do to actually see the game. However, if you think about the results of that advertising, the results are dismal. As a matter of fact, if you ask most people who watch the Super Bowl today, as we're recording this, it's in September, so it's a good 9 months after the Super Bowl was played, or nearly 9 months. Most people could not tell you six different advertisers' names that advertised in the Super Bowl in January of this year. So that stuff was outrageous but it didn't really get the kind of response that we need, which is all small business owners, and I'm putting martial arts schools in that category, they need to, all the marketing dollars that they spend on their advertising needs to get a return on investment for them. That's the kind of marketing they have to do. So when I talk about outrageous advertising, what I talk about is a combination of two things. Number one is outrageous advertising that gets noticed, and in tandem with that, to use basic direct response marketing principles that I teach, and I teach throughout the book that we're referring to, that by combining those two together, you will get noticed, but you will also get people to take action, and which is the only kind of advertising that all of us in that we could be using in our business. We have to use in our business, and because we don't have the kind of marketing budgets to spend $3.1 million on a 30-second commercial. Matter of fact, in a lifetime, we probably are not going to spend close to $3.1 million. So we certainly can't do it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a timely example of, for better or worse, of outrageous is I was last night, as usual, at midnight watching Fox News, and there was a 10-minute segment on the O'Reilly Factor about the recent PETA ad. Have you seen that?
No, I have
and
not.
And so what's her name? The Barbie doll blonde gal that was married to the rock star. I forget her name, but it's basically people going through the metal detector at the airport, and very sexually provocative. She's ripping the pants off one guy and basically is taking leather and taking off their shoes and throwing their shoes away, and then there's a naked couple that goes through. But the premise of the coverage, of course, beyond titillation, was that this ad was produced but rejected by all the networks and then played on all of the news networks over and over and over again and became viral just because it was so out of the box. And I think that's a good example, not one that we want to, you know, in form replicate for martial arts schools, but it's certainly a good example of outrageousness getting attention.
Well, listen, when you can hit that level where your stuff is so outrageous where the media actually picks it up, then you're hitting a real home run because now you're multiplying the value of that ad. You know, Bob Parsons, who's the founder of GoDaddy, and you know, that's exactly how he built that business to become the number one business in the world providing domain names, is he created outrageous TV commercials that he got famous because the Super Bowl would not run his commercials. So because he got rejected by the Super Bowl, every news agency in the world was showing his commercials. And he tells the story. I was on a seminar. I was at a live event where I spoke, and he was also speaking there. He tells the story about how he actually got his outrageous advertising viral, where it actually led to him, you know, growing from, like, out of obscurity into being number one. Now, to his credit, Bob actually does use some direct response principles in his advertising. So he actually did it in a way where people were going to his website to order his domain names. So it wasn't just that he used outrageous advertising by itself. There was the combination of direct response and outrageous.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you said two things as just a natural assumption that I think merits pointing out to martial arts school owners. One is you said something which I know that Toby and I are flabbergasted by occasionally, which is, you know, if you decide to run a martial arts school, you're deciding to run a business. And so now you have to treat it like a business. You have to operate it as a business. And frankly, all small businesses, if you don't master marketing, and I include in that terminology advertising, community outreach to get new students, and sales processes, if you don't master that, you don't have a business. Maybe I could get you to address that in this context for a second.
Well, listen, the truth of the matter is if you don't, you know, people listening to what I'm about to say, some people are going to be repelled by this, but the truth of the matter is, that if you want to be successful in anything you do, you've got to run it as a business and also understand that the most important function in your business is the marketing. So let's say that you're running a nonprofit, you're running a charity. I mean, if you want that charity to really be successful, you've got to run that charity like a business. And you've got to also figure out how to be a smart, effective marketer for that charity in order to get people to donate funds to that charity. So, and most people don't think of a charity as a business, but the truth of the matter is it is a business. And clearly, if you're running a martial arts school, you have a business. There's no question that you do. And if you, again, most people, they get mirrored and mired into actually like doing the thing. So it's all about, gee, I will be the greatest deliverer of martial art training in the world. And that's great, but you could be the greatest deliverer of martial art training in the world and still go broke. So you've got to be able to provide great service in your business, but at the same time, you have to run it like a business and you have to learn how to market it where you do a couple things. Number one is you get a constant flow of new students to your school. And number two is that once you get new students, you keep students with continuing to return to your school and also hopefully upgrading them into more elaborate training programs. And so that's the marketing, and that's got to be done. If you just rely on the delivery of the service, I know people are going to be repelled by this, but you will eventually go broke in that business.
Absolutely. You know, right on the cover of your book, you say, created for the 99% of small business owners who are dissatisfied with the results they get from the current advertising. And a mythology that got built up in the industry by several of the fake gurus several years ago was that advertising for martial arts schools doesn't work, which, of course, meant that people who were teaching advertising that didn't work didn't know how to do what we do and know how to do what you do. So let's discuss that. I mean, there's many different mechanisms for getting out to the market and bringing new people in. And, of course, your outrageous methods apply to direct mail, but they apply to all different formats. What type of formats for marketing do your outrageous principles apply to, Bill?
It's important that you understand that they apply to every format of marketing. And because, you know, like direct mail to me is just a media within the marketing advertising world. And it happens to be my personal favorite media, but that doesn't mean it's the best one. It's just my personal favorite one. But, I mean, everything you do, I mean, if you're having a website, it applies there. If you're sending out emails to your students or prospects, it applies there. If you're running a Yellow Page ad, it applies there. If you're putting up, and this is really important, this is what I'm about to say. If you have signs up in your schools, either inside your school or even the sign that's hanging outside your school where people who are driving by or walking by see your sign, that sign has to get noticed. As a matter of fact, in studies, it's shown that 31% of all buying decisions have been made by signs when somebody reads a sign either inside a building or outside of the building, and it's hanging on the building. So then there it needs to apply. You're handing out a business card. In the book I show outrageous business cards where, you know, most people, when they get a business card, within 24 hours, it's in the circular file, which is called the trash can. Whereas we teach people how to give out business cards where people want to really keep that card so it has staying power. I mean, clearly, if you're going to want to use radio and TV advertising, there's a great example in the book that was delivered by Bill and Steve Harrison, who are people that you guys know very well. And they get a great example in the book of how to use outrageous help wanted ads, how to not use conventional places to advertise for employees, but use unconventional ideas to get the most targeted, best employees you possibly can. So it works in help wanted ads. I mean, clearly newspaper and magazine ads, it works there as well. So, you know, it really, in any media at all, you've got to stand out from the crowd and you've got to be more outrageous. I just want to say one more thing about this before I move to your next question. If you go up to a successful entrepreneur, and again, I mean, I deal with hundreds of them every day. If you say to them, what is the thing that you do in your business that you enjoy doing the most? they will tell you, the successful ones will tell you, the thing I enjoy doing the most in my business is the marketing of my business. I enjoy figuring out ways to get new customers, and then once we get the customers, to actually to upsell them or sell them more. What's cool about outrageous advertising is that for the successful entrepreneur, not only do they get to do the thing that they do like to do the most, but by doing it outrageously, you get to have fun with it. And so now you get to do the thing that you like to do the most and still enjoy it even more so with adding a fun aspect to it. Because, you know, in my businesses, I mean, even today, Glazer Kenny, and previously, as you mentioned, I was a retailer. In my businesses, I got to the point where, you know, I was just, I was just churning out, I still do today, churn out one marketing piece after the next. And it's all about sort of like, some of this is to my own entertainment. But when you know you're doing it well is when your customers, and in your case, let's call them your students, start saying to you, when am I getting the next marketing thing from you? When am I going to see the next thing?
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they start asking you for more of this stuff. And now you can tell that you're really building an iron cage around your students where they're only going to be wanting to come to your schools and nobody else's school.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, and in your book, I was looking through here, and there's at least 108 examples. And I think you also give a free CD, a color CD of all those. And I know an awful lot of people, when they get started with this, they have difficulty picturing that. Can you give us some ideas of some of your favorite examples from the book, some of the favorite examples you've seen,
either
your own or others?
Yeah, I will. So let me clarify that. Because I just want, then I'll answer your question. There is 108 examples that are in the book, and what the book is really is more of a swipe file than it is a book, really, because what people are doing is they're just going through the book and they're pulling out 2, 3, 4, 5 different examples that they want to take them and use them to swipe them to use in their own business. The CD, however, I just want to clarify, is this is actually the reason why there's the CD is this was an argument that I lost with the publisher. I said to the publisher originally that I want to publish all 108 of these exhibits or examples in the book in full color so people can really see what they look like as clear as they are. And he said to me, unfortunately, Bill, if we print this in color, we've got to sell this book for $45. And so we wanted to keep the book under $20. So we printed all the examples in the book in black and white, but there's a certificate in the front of the book where you just fill it out and you can either fax it to my office, you can mail it to my office, or there's an actual a website that's right on the certificate. You go right online and you can order the CD, and the CD has all of the exhibits in the book in full color. So that's how you, and we'll mail it to you for free. So that's how you get to see everything in full color. Now, as far as like my favorite examples in the book, I mean, I have 108 favorite examples in the book because every one of them is terrific. The book is a combination of my best work and also a call out to Glazer Kennedy members asking them to submit their best work with actual, you know, real results. But let me give you one. I'll give you one that I think would be valuable to people listening to this call. And the reason why it's valuable to people listening to this call because it's one that I used in my own business. It's the one that won me the Rack Award, which you mentioned before. Quite frankly, the fact that it won the award is not as important as the fact that it also got me an unbelievable response. And also today it's been used in 67 different industries, including people in the martial art industry. And that was a five-page, or it is a five-page, handwritten sales letter on yellow legal pad, and the entire five pages is in the book. And the
which by the way is an idea we stole from you and have used 2 or 3 times in the last year.
Yeah. By the way, to say it politically correct, Stephen, it's you swiped it from me, not stole it from me. but although I steal from everybody I can also, But it's a five-page handwritten sales letter, and it has a whole. You can just copy the format. I mean, it starts off with a story, and you just write your own story. You see how I formatted it, and then it shows how I, you know, and it doesn't have to be 5 pages. A lot of people, when they reuse them, they made it 2 pages, 3 pages, 1 page even. I used 5 pages because I had 5 pages worth of stuff to say. And the thing that's interesting about it is on the last page, the fifth page, I gave everybody 4 handwritten shameless bribe coupons. And for my menswear business, it was incredible, the response. I mean, hundreds of people came in holding these letters. And the thing that I point out about it is that the kinds of people that came in were people that owned Fortune 1000 companies, presidents of banks came into my business, accountants, lawyers came into the business. And these are people that you would normally think of would not be responding to a handwritten sales letter. You would think that they would be looking for more sophisticated, quote-unquote, marketing. But they responded to this because it cut through the clutter. I mean, when a 5-page handwritten sales letter on yellow legal pad comes into your house, I mean, even their wives couldn't throw it out, because that's normally the people that, because I was dealing mostly with men back then, their wives couldn't throw it out, because those are people that normally go through the mail, but it looks so important that they set it aside for their husbands to see it. And again, as I said, it's been used in 67 different industries now, including in the industry that you spend all your time in, Stephen and Toby. And it works terrifically. So that's one of my favorite ones, and that's one that I can guarantee it works well. But again, when you get the book, just follow the format of the sales letter. It's fully explained in the book. And you know, don't deviate from it too much, because it uses all the direct response principles that I teach.
You bet, you bet. And of course, to our NAPMA members, we spend hours upon hours, and we have a big event, by the way, which you know of, coming up in San Antonio in about 4 weeks now. And we're going to be really going through A to Z of direct response marketing in the current era. And certainly the best preparation for anybody attending that event would be to have devoured your book by the time they get there, because it'll all tie into everything from Twitter and Facebook to direct mail to my extraordinary marketing sessions that I'm going to be doing for everybody. So it'd be phenomenal.
Yeah, if I could just add to that, because you know, when I was at the last mastermind meeting with you two guys, and you were talking about this Extreme Success Academy, and you were sharing it with the people in the room, I mean, it's a spectacular event, and anybody who doesn't get there is crazy. And also, you know, listen, I'll tell you something. I mean, people listening to this are basically teachers, which they're teaching their students. And, you know, school is really never out for the student, and you've got to constantly be working on your education. So, I mean, congratulations to you guys for putting on such an extraordinary event like you do, and especially the one coming up, this Extreme Success Academy, because you know, again, if you want to compete in today's tough economic times, you're not going to compete by doing the same things you've done before. You're only going to be able to compete and excel by doing things different and learning new ideas. So, yep, everybody should be there.
Well, that's right. And the other thing, and you said it before, and I'll reiterate it, you're not going to excel in today's times by doing all of your ongoing growth and development in technical skills. It's got to be, you know, every martial artist should continue to grow as a martial artist and continue to perfect their craft, but it's got to be marketing skills, sales skills, business skills, all of the things that create an environment where you have lots of students who are happy and are willing to pay a reasonable price, and so that you can make a living doing this, not just exercise your hobby and take a vow of poverty.
You know, I hate to say it, and again, this is going to upset people, but if you have 2 martial art teachers, or let's call them school owners even in this particular case, and one of them has technical skills that's a 10, and the other one has technical skills that's a 6, but the one that's a 10 has marketing skills that's a 4, and the one that has 6 technical skills has marketing skills that's a 9, the guy with the 9 marketing skills will be 10 times more successful than the guy with the 10 in technical skills. Because at the end of the day, the marketer will always be able to outperform the other. And quite frankly, if you're looking to change people's lives and teach them what it is that you've developed, you really owe it to them to be good marketers so that you can get your message out to as many people so that you can change their lives. So you should not think of this as being in any way unethical. It's really the ethical thing to do is to learn how to change as many people's lives as you can.
Well, that's right. You know, Stephen Covey, and if there's anybody who's, you know, grounded in ethics more than him, I don't know who it is, his line is no margin, no mission. You know, if you don't have profits coming into the business, there's no way you're going to continue to grow the business. You're not going to provide the service. That's why 3,500 schools in our industry went out of business this year. They never bothered to master marketing and thought that the technical skills was all it took. Hey, I know we're going to run up on your schedule here before long, but let's give them a few more examples of how outrageousness in advertising, and of course this applies to generating referrals, applies to community outreach activities, and it applies to any kind of marketing they're going to be doing to their students or to the community. So some examples of things that would apply directly to a martial arts school.
Wow. Well, see, I think everything in the book applies directly to martial arts school, because I think all you need to do is you need to figure out how to swipe and deploy the idea and use it in your own school. So let me give you an example of a swipe and deploy idea that anybody should use. And when I'll tell you one that I used in my menswear store, and when I explain it to you, by explanation, I think you understand how you can move it over to martial arts school. So, I mean, and it just happened by accident, and which is, you know, let me just sort of back up a second. A lot of people say to me, Bill, how does somebody who doesn't understand or doesn't think outrageously, doesn't think creatively, how do they find outrageous ideas to use in their business? And I always tell them there's two ways. One way is to do something like get my book and have 108 different exhibits that you can swipe for your own business. So that's one. And the other way is you just got to be kind of like, they just sort of fall in your lap from time to time. And let me give you an example of one that fell into my lap. I mean, one night, you know, after work, I work with my wife at Glazer Kennedy, and after work, you know, my wife Karen said to me the thing that she normally says to me at the end of the day's work, which is, I don't feel like cooking, so let's go out to dinner. And so we stopped off at a diner here in Maryland where we live, and we were sitting there, and we ordered dinner, and then Karen, and I've been married for 32 years, so I started getting this a long time ago. Karen, she starts giving me the list of everything that she needs me to do. And at that particular time, the list was long, and I needed to write it down, so I didn't have paper. So I looked down in the diner, and there was this placemat that's there where all the silverware and was on top of, and the plates, and around the edge of it, there was a little white space. So I ripped that off, and I start making the list, and about 28 seconds later, give or take, a light bulb on my head went off and said, gee, this is cool. You could write on a placemat. I bet you could just write a sales letter on a placemat and mail it out to your customers. And so I created my own fictitious placemat. It's actually in the book. It's from Fat Eddie's Diner. And I sent out my own placemat to, at the time, it was about 10,000 customers of my menswear store. And on the back of the placemat that I created, I wrote a whole sales letter out. And I mailed it to them. Now, again, I sent this out to people buying menswear, and it was a diner placemat. So normally somebody would think of a diner placemat would go out to somebody that's in the restaurant industry. But when this diner placemat arrived in their mailbox, it did not look like any other piece of direct mail they were getting. Most direct mail in the mailbox is very boring looking. This was a placemat, so someone's got to look at it and say, gee, what's this all about? As a matter of fact, when we printed it, and we actually printed a simulated coffee stain on the outside of the placemat, like when you put your cup of coffee on top of a placemat, it leaves a stain. And so
that's
it's a coffee
great.
Cup, yeah, coffee cup stain. And I wrote a whole story about it. And so that's, I mean, you know, that's an example of how anybody could create their own, like, little diner, you know, or any kind of a business there is. And send it out to their customers, where somebody's going to look at it and say, gee, what is this all about? See, a big part of your marketing advertising does not work because your message never gets really open and read. And so what I teach in the book is how to cut through the clutter where your marketing message does get open. In this particular case, somebody's getting a diner placemat in their big stack of mail they get at their home every day. They're going to open and read that baby because they're going to say to themselves, what's this all about? And again, the response was just phenomenal, the same way the response was phenomenal for the five-page handwritten sales letter I told you about before.
Oh, absolutely. You know, to reiterate, I mean, many years ago now, but when I opened my schools in 1983, and I had come from a long background with Junery and others running multiple schools, but frankly, all of the marketing ideas I used in 1983 were things that I had picked up from wandering around chiropractic clinic, dentist offices, fitness centers, and, you know, you go through a long list, as well as studying the historic direct response marketing greats. I actually didn't have the money at the time to buy the book, so I sat in the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. for 3 months reading everything I could get my hands on, all the old Caples and Ogilvy and everything in between. And it was one of those things where 18 months later I had 1,500 active students, and it was from both being aggressive but being outrageous. Nothing that I did then is anything that anybody had done in the martial arts industry before, or at least very little, and therefore it got noticed. And it was a conscious effort to avoid what I now hear Dan Kennedy calling marketing incest. I knew that what most people were doing didn't work, and so I had to go figure out people who were doing things that were working and pick that up, and luckily at that age was smart enough to do that. And in your book, it's just the, you know, if I had had your book now, it would have saved me literally 12 months of 20-hour-a-day study, because it would have put me that much of a leg up on doing things. And, of course, an awful lot of what's in your book is much more sophisticated than what I came up with 26 years ago. But, you know, mine was good enough to come up with 1,500 active students. I probably could have been at 5,000. With your book. It's phenomenal.
Well, thank you.
Hey, Bill, let's tell people how to get a copy of this before we get any further. If you have a website, it's outrageousbook.com, and I think you threw some bonuses stuff in for our people. So it's, what is it, outrageousbook.com/Stephen, my name, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-O. Is that right, Toby, or is there another URL?
That works just fine, and so does outrageousbook.com/NATMA.
That would be easier for people to remember. Problem is remembering outrageous. Go ahead.
Once again, we put together some special bonuses for the people that are associated with NATMA and the two of you. So it's outrageousbook.com. Let me spell outrageous for people. It's outrageous. Book, book.com/ STEPHENO or NAPMA, NAPMA works well also. And if you go to either of those sites, you'll be able to get the book and all the bonuses. And also, as soon as you go to the site, you're going to get an instantaneous bonus, which you automatically will download a copy of my 5-page handwritten sales letter as soon as you go there, even before you even buy the book. If you just want to grab that, that's perfectly fine. But there's a bunch of other bonuses that are also waiting for you once you get there.
So they can pull that handwritten sales letter down for free if they go to that
absolutely.
Site.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And the cost of the book,
the cost of the book is under $20. It's $19.95. And actually, I didn't write this book for profit. I mean, you guys know me very well. I'm not beyond making profit in it because I think we're in business to make money. But I didn't write this book for profit. As a matter of fact, all the proceeds from this book, all the profits from this book, I'm donating to Junior Achievement. And so, and I'm doing an event in January. In association with the book, which when you go online, you just stay online and find out about the event for those people who are interested in that. The event, we're actually donating the check to Junior Achievement. And I personally am very passionate about Junior Achievement. It's the world's largest nonprofit organization, which helps young people for workforce readiness and entrepreneurship. And I actually also am a volunteer and teach a class here in Maryland on Junior Achievement. So this book was is all about also giving back. And so when you invest in the book, not only will you get a great book, and I'm not trying to sound egotistical, but you a great book to help you, but you're also going to be also helping a great needy cause at the same time.
Absolutely. Hey, and Bill, I might point out that I just saw an example which I used in my own schools that has easily added $500,000 in revenue that I can document in 24 months. That in the book, I actually stole it from, I swiped and deployed it from the late Gary Halbert. But it's a grabber idea that you have here in the book as an example, too. And literally, as an internal, not an external marketing activity for creating renewals or upgrades, it added easily $500,000 in revenue to us in 24 months. And it was just an activity we were already going through, but it was taking an outrageous example like this that got people's attention and dramatically improved our results.
Well, great. I mean, I think that's the real smart business person, entrepreneur, is looking for ideas to swipe in, you know, and you're looking for in two places. You're looking in your own industry, what's working, and you're looking outside of your industry, what's working, that you can move over to your industry. And you know, you guys are really good at doing that. So, you know, good for you all.
Yeah, and we're really ramping up for the rest of 2009 and 2010 to have some new outrageous, to use your term, new things to share with our member schools. I think they're going to be blown away. Last year we had several dramatic examples with the movie industry, and this year we have several other things that are going to be coming up that we'll be releasing at the event coming up in October. Hey, I found that quote that I alluded to earlier in the call. I thought this was hysterical. So Dan Kennedy's quote about the book was, "I'm disappointed with and dislike this book. I'm disappointed Bill has packed it so full and given away so much small for such a small token price, and I unsuccessfully argued for stripping it back when I reviewed the manuscript. As is, it should be a $1,000 or $2,000 info product sold as a kit of resources, not a book sold for the price of a Starbucks coffee and a scone." I'm surprised Dan knows what a scone is at Starbucks. "As an author, I have some unhappiness at having the bar raised. He has made the job tougher for the rest of us by so badly overdoing it here. Your gain, our headache." I think that's hysterical. I make that comment because Toby and I have both tried to find a Starbucks in Twinsburg, Ohio, and I'm not sure they have one.
Actually, there's a prohibition for them being in Twinsburg, Ohio. For those people that are listening, the inside story to this is that Dan Kennedy lives in Twinsburg, Ohio, and we fly out there 2-3 times a year to have a high-level mastermind group meeting with him. So we're there, and yeah, there's not a lot in Twinsburg, Ohio. So if anybody's listening to this call in Twinsburg, we apologize. And we also were sorry the fact that you live there.
I at least thought you'd be successful in convincing him to move it to rest in Virginia. So
I would love that. maybe the three of us need to gang up on him.
Yeah, there you go. I put my 2 cents in, and I don't think it got a hearing at all.
No.
If you have time, can you give us just a little overview of how you would go about crafting an advertising message? I know that there's a standard format that has been proven to work, and maybe we can give everybody just another little piece of meat or so before we have to run.
Yeah, I'd like to, because I really like it when we do these kinds of calls where people can, you know, take away with them really actionable items that they can put into their marketing and advertising. And actually, when I told you earlier, is that the book is really shows you how to not only do outrageous advertising, but to combine that with direct response principles. And the chapters in the book are kind of separated by teaching different direct response principles, and then they are supported by illustrations or exhibits that prove it. And so let me just talk about a couple of those that people want to make sure that they use in all their marketing advertising. And the first one is, you want to, whenever possible, and you really should almost do it every time, is you want to have some kind of a story that's in your marketing advertising message. And I even when I'm doing postcard marketing, which is 4 inches by 6 inches, I'm able to get a story on there. But on the 5-page handwritten sales letter, I mean, I started out with a story talking about the fact that I was sitting in the airport getting ready to catch a flight in a few minutes, and I called my business up, and I found out business wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. So I immediately decided that I was going to write my best customers and tell them about a special promotion that I had coming up. And all I had with me in my briefcase was a Yellow Pages, was a legal pad, and I just wrote out a message on a legal pad, and I don't have time because I've got to get on the airplane, so I'm just going to, like, send this off to my printer. I'm going to tell them to print it up and send it out to my best customers. Now, that's a story, and that's the kind of thing that when people read that, they're going to be, you know, brought into the ad now and decide, gee, I want to hear more about this, as opposed to just saying, you know, big discount today. I mean, that's not the kind of thing that's going to get people's attention. So one of the first principles is to have a story. Stories work very well. We were, as small children, our parents read us stories. That's how we learned at an early age, and that's how people are used to learning. So the first thing is a story. The second principle that I'll tell everybody that you must have in every ad that you do use, whether it's online, offline, radio, television, I don't care what it is you have to have a headline in your ad. You must. So like on the Yellow Page, on the 5-page handwritten sales letter that I'm referring to, and then again I said you can download for free. I mean, the headline on that is, sometimes when times are tough, you've got to do some pretty drastic things. Well, that's a headline. Where when somebody reads that headline, they will be now saying, gee, what's this all about? How can I learn more? As a matter of fact, in the book, in the back of the book, there's a 3 bonus sections which have a one of those bonus sections has a list of the top 100 headlines ever written, that you can actually use those as a swipe file for when you need to write your next headline. You just go there, read down them. I do this all the time when I write my copy. I read down these winning headlines, and I figure out, let me pick out the 2 or 3 or 4 of them that I can recraft for my new ad, because we know they already work. So a headline is the second thing in sort of this direct response principle. The next two I'm going to deliver to you together, and that is, you have to have an offer. You have to have a reason for somebody to respond. In the book, I teach people how to make 2 kinds of offers. One is an offer where there's a quote-unquote discount, and another one is an offer where there is no discount, but it's still an offer, because, you know, lowering your price doesn't always work for most businesses. It works for some, so you got to figure out good ways to make offers. So I teach people how to make offers. But with offer, you must always have a deadline. And the reason why you have to have a deadline is because everybody in this entire earth are procrastinators. We all procrastinate. And unless there's a reason why we have to respond right away, we oftentimes will look at things that we want to do, but because there's no urgency for us, we will set it aside. And unfortunately, in most cases, when we set something aside, we never eventually get to it. So you have to always have a deadline and an offer in tandem. And once again, most people are going to listen to the word deadline and think that the only way you can do a deadline is by a date or a time, which is one of the ways to do it. But there are other ways to also deliver deadlines, which I also have sort of outlined in the book. So it's not only by date and time, although date and time is as good of any way to go to. And then I think the last thing I'll sort of share with everybody as far as a direct response principle. By the way, this is the 5th one I'll give you. There's probably 15 or 18 of them in the book, but I want to give everybody a lot of good meat on this call. And the last one I'll tell everybody is our testimonials. At Glaser Kennedy, our tens of thousands of members, you know, send into my office all the time exhibits of their marketing and advertising pieces. As a matter of fact, you know, listen, I mean, I get NAPMA's marketing advertising pieces all the time, and I see your guys' stuff. And this is one of the areas, and I will say, NAPMA, you do a really good job of not making this mistake, but most people, this is the one area where more people make this mistake than any other mistake, is they have the absence of, or they have lousy testimonials in their marketing. And what other people say about you is clearly 10 times, if not more, more believable than what you would ever say about yourself. And so you really want to always have testimonials in your marketing all the time. And again, in the book, I teach the two types of testimonials. There's two different kinds of testimonials, and you want to use them both. And I not only teach the two different kinds of testimonials that you want to use and employ, but I also teach people how to get testimonials. What I found is, and this is through the years of teaching entrepreneurs, is that a lot of entrepreneurs would come up to me when I was doing a live seminar, and they would say to me, Bill, I don't know how to ask my customers, or in this case, let's say students, for testimonial. And really, I found that it's easy to get as long as you know how to do it. And so I show the actual formula in the book that I've developed for actually easily getting your customers, patients, clients, students, whatever they are, to give you testimonies. It's just a case of just finding the way to do it, and it's pretty simple once you learn that. So there's five of them for you. I mean, story, headline, offer, deadline, and testimonials. And I think if you apply those to your marketing advertising, you will see that that will make a big, big difference in your response. And then again, as I said in the book, there's like another 10, and these five that I just described, I go into much more depth in the book as well.
Oh yeah. The book again is just phenomenal. It's
Thank you.
You know, if I had had it 25 years ago, it would have saved me, as I said, probably 20 hours a week for 12 months.
Hey, Stephen, if all of us had things 25 years ago, we'd be a lot wealthier and richer today, you know. It's just, you know, unfortunately, we got to stop looking back because we just got to be happy with what we've achieved so far, you know. So,
absolutely.
Listen, I got to tell you, I mean, I went in my father's business, menswear business, you know, back in 1974, and it really wasn't until 1995, which that 21 years later, that I met Dan Kennedy. And the first 21 years I was in that business, I was dumb as rocks. I mean, I got to tell you, I really was. So I mean, if I look back at that and say, gee, I wish I would have met Dan Kennedy in 1974, but I'm happy I met him in 1995, you know? So
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Yeah, to leapfrog off one of the things you said about testimonials, that specifically in I think our people don't think about, and I know that you teach it for everybody, but you need to be constantly using testimonials for your current customers, not only to reinforce their buying decision, in our case, with your current students, to reinforce the fact that they're in the right place, but also to help move them up into the next levels and to for retention. So testimonials are not only for the uninitiated, therefore the current students to generate referrals, generate renewals, upgrades. They're for current students to continue to reinforce the decision they've made. They're for current students to generate family add-ons, et cetera. I mean, it's such an important topic, which, again, you address extremely well in the book. And it's something that all of our members really need to focus on, that level of social proof.
Yeah. Would you mind if I added two more things about that?
Of course not.
First of all, I want to move back to what I said before about signs, how important signs are in businesses like this, and putting well-placed signs up in your studios and even outside or in the windows of the schools where people would read a testimonial while they're in the school or while they're walking by the school or driving by the school. That's a very, very smart use of testimonials. That social proof is huge. The second thing I'll say about testimonials is, and this is my fallback position on testimonials always, is when you look at any of your marketing pieces at all, and you see any blank space on them at all, blank space does not sell anything at all. So wherever you have blank space, anywhere in any of your marketing advertising, take that blank space and plop in a testimonial or two there. I mean, it makes no sense to be using blank space anywhere. It's always my fallback position on blank space is let's just dig out some testimonials and stick them there. So yeah, you want to use them wherever you can and everywhere you can, and the more you got, the better. But it's also important that you learn how to get not only get great testimonials, but how when you ask for testimonials, what you're looking for the testimonial to say or read, because there's two types of testimonials, and you got to be using both of those types.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you even do address, we talked about it jokingly, but how to swipe and deploy ethically rather than and unethically. And I've been jokingly say steal, but of course, what we the ideas I've used that you've generated have been with your permission and have been, and many of the ideas have been not swiping ad copy, but to take the idea with permission and to expand it, which of course we're doing that for all of our members with anything we can pick up from you and the many hundreds of people that we interact with you.
Well, sure. And listen, I always joke about it when I see something that we've created and somebody else has now taken and recrafted for themselves. But quite frankly, it's very flattering to us that, and I really like it when people take what we've created and swiping it. And also, I mean, again, I only like teaching stuff that I know works. So when I show stuff to people, it all comes with proven results. So, yeah, it's my pleasure.
And I think one of the things that Toby and I have brought to the table here with NAM in the last couple of years is real-world testing every day with many schools and a feedback loop so that, you know, we're probably the only ones now who are actually teaching things that are being applied in the market in 2009 as opposed to in somebody's distant memory. Hey, Bill, I know we've got to be careful of your time. I really appreciate the valuable content you've shared with us. And again, let's tell them one more time. They go to outrageousbook.com/NAPMA, N-A-P-M-A. And there's some free stuff they can get. They can also order the book, and there's some bonuses, including the CD of all the color examples that you've graciously provided for NAPMA members if they go there. And again, it's a very inexpensive, less than $20 investment for the book. Any last thoughts you'd like to share with everybody?
Well, I've got two. The first one is next time we do one of these calls, make sure Toby doesn't say as much as he dominated the call today, you know, so make sure that's said totally tongue-in-cheek. But no, one last thing I would say is that I want to thank you two guys because, you know, you guys have come now to NAPMA and you've sort of taken it over and you really brought with you, you know, real, you know, the infusion of what NAPMA really needs, which is teaching entrepreneurs that are in the martial arts school industry how to really become entrepreneurs and business owners. So you brought that to the table. And so you guys are changing people's lives. So, you know, that industry is very, very fortunate to have you. And I would, again, I'd highly recommend everybody. I know you did not ask me to say this, but everybody should get to the Extreme Success Academy that you guys are conducting. And again, constantly work on your own education. Same thing everybody on this call who have schools, they're teaching their students to constantly be learning to get better at what they do. You guys on this call have to always be learning how to get better at what you do also, which is learning how to be better at running your school. So that's sort of the last thing I have to say. So, I mean, I just want to thank you two guys for what you actually, how you help out and change an industry.
Thank you very much. And by the way, I should acknowledge that you were the inspiration for both the name and the structure of the event and gave us tremendous ideas on ways that we can really accelerate the growth for the members and truly make sure that as they leave, they're going to have immediately implementable ideas and immediately bump in their income. So I want to acknowledge that. We were blessed, many people don't know, with having a full day of your time and Dan Kennedy's time pouring through all the things that we're doing for our members to teach them how to move at a higher level and with some tremendous ideas. So I've always been appreciative of the ongoing support we get.
Sure. My pleasure. One day I'll have to get it on my schedule to come out there and speak at one of your events. Which I would probably very much enjoy speaking to that particular industry because what I really like.
Well, I'll send you our list of dates here, and we'll see if we can fit that into your busy schedule. As long as it's not held in Cleveland, Ohio.
I can guarantee you, if it's in Cleveland, I'm not available.
OK. Okay. There All you right. go. Well, thank you very much for your time, Bill. This is fantastic, and you know, have to be a totally oblivious not to pick up your book and just devour it, and then they'll see many of the things that we're teaching them in October. So I would recommend they devour that and then be at the event in October in San Antonio.
Okay. Well, take care, gentlemen, and thanks to everybody for being on the call. Bye.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks so much.